So, welcome back, everybody. Here is Night Flight, and James Bartley is back, and we will talk about, 2025, the year in the rear mirror. And we are not going to do it month by month. We are going to do it more along the lines of what stood out to us and how we experienced it. You might have a different point of view, and that is perfectly okay. So, James, you are the guest. You have the floor. You can start. What is your take on 2025 in general?
Well, it was a roller coaster to say the least, and I do believe it's a warm-up act for what's coming next year, which is only a few days away. And going forward, things are being put in place too, and I hate to sound a gloomy note. I'm not trying to be gloomy. I'm just making an observation that it seems to me that things are being put in place to have more control, more strictures, more laws, more oppression, and it's coming at us very quickly. And also my particular field, UFO research, alien abductions, what have you, just suspected the so-called disclosure is not much of a disclosure. The dark journalist has done great work in this regard, and he has pointed out to my satisfaction that many of the key players in the disclosure movement, Christopher Mellon and others, are essentially CIA assets. They're essentially gatekeepers. They're there to find a means to maintain control, and as dark journalist points out, if one is really serious about disclosure, the last people you want involved to provide disclosure would be CIA people, right? So I can tell that that's going to go nowhere. It's going to be a limited hangout, and we're not going to get anywhere close to the truth. So much of the information that they've shared, we've already known about decades ago. The retrieval of crash retrieval of recovered alien technology, the recovery of aliens living and dead, the back engineering of alien technology, and eventually an off-world program. Those are directions, especially the off-world program and the exploitation of the technology, they're never going to talk about in these disclosure hearings. And they're certainly not going to talk about the global phenomenon of alien abductions, the hybridization of humanity, the dumbing down of humanity, which is part of the hybridization program. So the disclosure agenda is just going to grind to a halt. It's not going to get anywhere. It's going to be a big diversion. So those are my two main takeaways, and we could break it down from there.
I recently saw a video where somebody said that the entire disclosure movement is actually controlled by aliens. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would say so, because the whole purpose behind the hybridization agenda is to reduce humanity to its lowest common denominator. Barbara Bartholik always talked about the breed out the love program, the breed out the love agenda. And we see that in spades today. The level of indifference, apathy, narcissism, violent stupidity that the human race has been reduced to the point where in America, college students can't even read, write. They can't tell the time on an analog clock. They're ruled by their emotions and their base primordial impulses. They've been reduced to that level. And that is part and parcel of the hybridization agenda to remove
Uh-oh.
makes people human, the empathy, the conscience, the care and the love for others that has been effectively removed from countless people, young and old, increasingly younger. And the dumbing down process and the breeding out the love. I've seen this now with my own eyes. I'm satisfied that what we're seeing now is humanity reduced down to its lowest common denominator, and I can't help but believe that that is an alien agenda. If they want to take this planet over overtly, they need to really dumb down the population, get them fighting over meaningless, stupid things, so they can't focus on what's really important. And if you look at what's going on in the school systems and politics, etc., that's what we see. We just see this manipulation through fear, through intimidation, through shaming, etc. And it's clearly to me an alien agenda. This is they're softening up pacification program prior to what may be an overt takeover. They've already taken over and have for some time, for millennia. But I think that there may come a point in time because of all these Earth changes being wrought by the second sun, Nibiru, Planet X, call it what one will. They know that these aliens of various stripes know that they have a limited time to affect all the changes necessary. So they're really accelerating their program. This is clearly to me an alien agenda, what's going on.
what I like especially, there are a couple of channels on YouTube who do these videos, you know, where they ask college students basic questions, and oh my goodness, they fail so badly. And one of my favorites is what 99% get wrong when he asks, how long is a quarter of an hour? And they all say 25 minutes. And, you know, because they probably think of their money, a quarter is 20, but what they forget is that the hour works with a 60 unit and your money works with 100 units. So to them, it's 25 minutes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They can't count change. They can't write in cursive. They can't critically think. And it goes back to what the KGB defector talked about, but also the demoralization agenda. If they can't critically think and they're ruled by their emotions, the ones manipulating them are going to direct their emotions and channel their anger and rage and high anxiety in certain directions, which suits this alien agenda. It is an alien agenda. I want to reemphasize that. The human race should have been, we should have been flying around in cars by now, like in the Jetsons cartoon of old.
China is has the first ones out. Did you see that? Could you hear me?
No, I didn't see that. Oh, wait a minute. I may have read something about that, but I also got. Yeah, I can hear you, but I also saw an article and a short video of their high-speed maglev trains on the surface. We know that the deep black military-industrial complex has these high-speed maglev trains underground, but the Chinese are rolling them out on the surface. And I've spoken to someone in the recent past. Their modern, ultra-modern train system, they can travel something like 300 kilometers an hour or faster. So China is advancing while the Western world is crumbling for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. So what don't get me wrong, I agree with what you said, especially with the alien agenda. But to me, what signified 2025 was more or less collapse. Collapse of institutions, collapse of governments, collapse of narratives. And so, what do I mean by that? We here in Germany, for instance, we had early elections in February. The last government didn't make it the full term, and I highly doubt that this one that we are having right now will make it to the end. France government is hanging on by a thread. One prime minister after another is taking the hat. We have seen governments overthrown. Nepal did it in less than 48 hours. And then we had Madagascar that overthrew its government. The people were out in the streets for 3 weeks, and then CAPSAT, the Special Forces Unit of Madagascar, joined the protesters, and that was the end of President Rajoelina, and he fled to France. In Bangladesh, we had it a couple of years, no, we had it in 2024, where they overthrew the government now. Sheikh Hasina was, she was in absentia, sentenced to death because of treason, but now India doesn't want to extradite her. So there are also tensions building up between those two countries. We had an attempt in Benin. Benin had a military takeover, but Nigeria stepped in and flew airstrikes against Benin. And here are my two cents why that happened. During 2025, Mali, that is part of the AES, had a very intense fuel crisis. They had to shut down the schools. People were waiting for days with their cars at fuel stations because the terror groups were attacking all the fuel tankers. So, and because AES, these three countries, Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, they are all landlocked. So, which means their energy has to come via Sierra Leone, Togo, Ivory Coast, and on it goes. So, and on that road to Mali, the terrorist groups always blew up these fuel tankers. And Benin most likely would have joined the AES, and that would have meant that the AES gets access to a harbor because Benin has a coastline. And for a while, I thought, you know, when Trump was talking about, yeah, we are going to attack Nigeria because of the Christians that are being killed there. And for a while, I thought maybe Tinubu, the president of Nigeria, made a deal with the West. Okay, I fly the airstrikes over Benin, and but you stay out of my country. But that didn't happen because on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, yeah, the U.S. flew airstrikes in Nigeria, and Hexet came out and said there will be more airstrikes. And Nigerians are very, very split over this. There is a huge chunk that said, yeah, okay, our government did very little to nothing to go against the terrorists and the bandits that are abducting people and trying to yeah, force out some ransom payment. And others say no, the US should absolutely stay out of our business, which is also a valid point. And so The other one in Guinea-Bissau, where the military now took over, I don't count that because the president there actually called in the military takeover himself. He announced the military takeover himself. He was able to speak to Western journalists. And if it's a real military takeover, they do not leave the phone with the president that he can, willy-nilly talk to any press outlet in the West. And now he is in Senegal. And that would usually also not ha happen in a military takeover. So I'm not counting that. To me, it signifies that the president of Guinea-Bissau didn't want to announce that he lost the election, so he called in the military himself. That is how I see it. But in general,
Yes, he didn't want to be removed from power. Yeah.
but in general, there is the entire climate change narrative got a big kick in the ass as well. So to me, if I had to give a headline for 2025, I would say the beginning of the big collapse.
I would agree. These countries in Europe, they're hanging by a thread. I think it was in Holland the other day. The Netherlands, usually a peaceful people, but they've been pushed to the edge because of mass immigration and all the crimes resulting from the mass immigration. They basically rebelled in the streets. People were attacking the police and what have you. And we've seen similar protest in other European countries. And another factor that's kicking into high gear, the cost of silver is going through the roof, and also gold. And there is some thought that China is buying up a lot of the silver and actually, in some measure, controlling the silver markets and the precious metals markets, which would essentially make them like a major player as far as precious metals and the financial markets are concerned. So whether that's going to push us closer to the digital currency or not, but certainly it's going to speed up the collapse of the Federal Reserve note, the dying petrodollar. I don't see how much longer the American economy and the European economy in general can last.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the silver prices, yeah, people don't really get it still. But if you look, for instance, the central banks also buy huge, huge amounts of gold and silver. Not only China, I agree, China is probably one of the biggest player in this game, but a lot of central banks are doing the same. Yeah.
Well, we saw a sneak preview in America a couple of months ago or a month ago when the government shut down in America for a variety of reasons. And that resulted in the welfare recipients, the people that receive SNAP benefits, electronic benefit transfers, EBT cards, etc. They were bank, right? Because that was their primary means of getting food for themselves. So when the EBT cards were shut down as a result of the government shutdown, we had wholesale violence, looting, theft, etc. So to me, that was a sneak preview. And also, coincidentally, once again, we're seeing this Antifa-type type activity, increasingly against America, against the federal officials trying ostensibly to do something about the immigration. But, like many people, I'm one of those people. Well, what I see is a lot of talk and no action on the part of the administration and other Western governments. It's all well and good to go after the low-hanging fruit, to go after the immigrants, let's say, that were brought here illegally, but they're not getting to the source of the problem. They will not get to the source of the problem because the powers that be are the ones, not only are they blackmailing everybody and are in covert control and increasingly in overt control of this whole wretched system, but they're the ones that are doing the Coudenhove-Kalergi plan to bring in these massive waves of immigrants that are radically changing for the worse Western civilization. So, the ICE officials, the federal anti-immigration officials, they're going after low-hanging fruit. They're going after the symptoms of the problem, i.e., the immigrants themselves, which is good. They need to do something about them, but they're not going to go after the people that are really behind this. I'm just so tired of seeing all these criminals, high-level criminals, being exposed, but nothing is being done about it. And that in itself, Judith, is a psyop because it's dangling a carrot in front of everybody. Oh, look, we've identified who the troublemakers are, at least at a mid-level, a mid-lower level, right? But nothing is being done to them. They have all the goods, they have all the documented crimes and fraud, what have you, but they just keep continuing. We don't see any arrest of any real major players, and we won't. I don't see that happening because that's how the system is supposed to be run.
For instance,
And it's instilling a lot of frustration in a lot of people.
I really don't understand, for example, why Ilhan Omar has not been arrested. Now, it came out that there were these shadow kindergartens, these facilities where actually nobody is, but
Daycare centers.
millions were donated there. And she is part of that scam. So why is nobody arresting her? I don't get it.
Yes. And also the fact that your average Somali, very low IQ individuals, and as a culture as a whole, they're not capable of pulling off this kind of scam. Someone is doing it for them. Someone is enabling them to do all this. And not just Governor Tim Walz, but people within the system, all these NGOs and what have you. Clearly, the Somalis are not doing this themselves. They were brought there, and the money is going to them at the expense of the Americans. But they're not going after anyone. They're throwing us a bone by going after low-hanging fruit, but they're not going after the real players, and they will not. And what they've done in the recent past, this is another interesting development. They're reminding Trump just how precarious his position is because they had another semi-release, let's say, of the Epstein case files. A lot of it in the past has been heavily redacted, but now they've allowed enough to leak out to implicate, DJT, Donald J. Trump. And he has gone out of his way just a few months ago saying, why are people still obsessed with Epstein? It's a hoax. It's ridiculous. He's a nobody, right? So this is the system's way of saying to him publicly now, look, we got you. You're ours. You work for us. So, yeah, I don't see anything coming out as far as in the way of major arrest. I don't want to sound redundant. But clearly, to me, that in itself, and I don't have high hopes that they're going to go out, start all these mass arrests and fill up Guantanamo Bay years ago. Remember, we kept hearing about that. Oh, Hillary Clinton, she's already in Gitmo. That's just a clone, you see, all this silliness, right? So, no, it's just going to be business as usual. But it's just so much in the open now. The level of fraud is so open now, and it adds to frustration, hopelessness, high anxiety for people who actually want something done about it. And it'll get to the point where, and some people will point it out that, well, an ancillary benefit to this mass migration, replacement of white culture, and the destruction of the West institutionally, culturally, etc., is people in classic problem reaction solution fashion will clamor for something to be done, and they're going to say, well, we've got this thing called a digital ID and digital currency, so we won't have this kind of fraud anymore. And there's enough dumb people out there that'll just roll with that.
But that is also adding to the entire collapse situation of what you just described. And the thing is, it will not be pretty, especially when, let's say the financial system collapses. The governments will continue to collapse, other institutions that people relied on will collapse. It will get probably very, very frightening at some point, especially if you're not prepared for it mentally and spiritually. Now, if you thought that everything will stay the way it is and there cannot be any disruption. Yeah, as you said, we had a sneak peek with the EBT cards, and this will definitely accelerate, but it has to happen because the way I look at this system, this construct, you cannot reform it. You cannot. It has to crumble and break away. Or do you see hope
Well, we're
of
having,
Do you see
yes,
hope
I
of
agree
reforming it?
100%. No, in order for there to be any resolution to this, clearly, one way or the other, this wretched system has to go. Granted, the powers that be have something waiting in the wings that they're implementing incrementally, gradually, incrementally, and by leaps and bounds, this whole next level. As Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, referred to a technocratic state, a technocratic control state, right? Because they've got the technology for it now. And they'll be rolling out robots and security robots and police robots and what have you before too long. So they already have an answer for this coming collapse. And when we talk about a collapse, we're talking about a financial collapse that will be far worse than the collapse, the crash of 1929, because so many things in this old system, which they're going to do away with, are integrated, right? Communications, banking, travel, everything is integrated. And look what they were doing also with air travel, a few months, several months back. Very publicized problems with airplanes, with air travel. In the recent past, they had to shut down worldwide the A320 Airbuses because the story goes maybe there was something to it, maybe not, but apparently there's increased solar radiation, which there are celestial galactic issues in that regard, to be sure, but they use it as an excuse to say, well, it's causing problems with the software. We're going to have to cancel all these flights, ground all these flights. So they're habituating people already to these kinds of delays, these kinds of cancellations of flights, what have you. So all across the board, we're seeing breakdowns of the system, and also the open defiance we're seeing at a state and local level where. In America, there are countless mayors and city council people and governors openly defying the federal government, making the federal government appear to be weak and impotent. Oh, we're going to not let the ICE agents do their job of encouraging activists, so-called Antifa, BLM, what have you, and the immigrants themselves to attack federal agents. And see, The shtick has always been to not go after the perpetrators of the crimes, but instead the efforts will be directed towards Christians, conservatives, gun owners, people who believe in national sovereignty, borders, what have you. They've all been labeled generically as Nazis and fascists and white supremacists, even if you're not white, right? So it's a problem reaction solution issue, but they're channeling the control and oppression and clampdowns on the people that are not causing the problems, right? That's the thing about it. It's they're letting the whole system come apart at the seams. We saw this predictive programming in countless movies in the past, in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, where they depicted in so many of these movies this futuristic, which is now a dystopic Orwellian system where it's just lawless crime everywhere. The streets are just open gutters and open sewers. Everything is rubbish strewn and filthy and disgusting and dirty. People dressed in rags, people going crazy in the streets. And we've been seeing a lot of that in America, especially because on top of that hybridization agenda I spoke of earlier, the breeding out the hate program, I think that all those things combined is enabling. And this is also aided and abetted by frequencies, 5G, what have you. It's making it easier for all these demonic entities, these non-corporeal, malevolent entities to jump into people, because the woke communist ideology already develops a mindset of this chronic malcontent, angry malcontent who wants to lash out at society. They just take all that angst and rage and channel it in certain directions. So we're seeing more demonic possession now than ever before. And I just saw a video the other night, which is interesting. It was getting late at night. I had to go to sleep, right? But there was just one more video. I clicked on it, and it talked about how so much of the rap music that is mobilizing a lot of the black youth and the gangster rap culture, it has its roots, the rhythms, the beats, the music, if you will, in Haitian West African voodoo music, right? So what they've done, and Beyonce is an example of this, she herself apparently is a practitioner of certain ancient West African voodoo rituals. So they're taking these rhythms, these beats, these harmonies or melodies, whatever you want to call them, they're putting it into the music. They're broadcasting that music out, and it's literally opening up people to demonic possession, right? So we're seeing now more demonic possession than we've ever seen before, in my estimation.
Yeah. Another thing that stood out to me was that it became very, very clear what governments are willing to do, to what extent they are going to keep their power, especially what happened in Tanzania. I found that so disgusting, horrifying. Shooting people willy-nilly in the streets, even people who had nothing to do with the protests. They went into houses, shot people, and then they tried to deny everything. And that was the reason why I never had an Instagram account, never wanted to have one. Yeah, well, now I have one, but I predominantly did it to download the clips that were there, and I turned them into 9 videos. And of course, I could only release them on Odyssey and YouTube. That truth is not wanted, yeah, if it's ugly. Because, as you know, YouTube must be a safe place for everybody. So we cannot show you the blank
Yes.
cruelty. Yeah. Okay, so that to me was, we crossed a threshold there. And CNN came out, did a short documentary, and actually they did a good job. And I said it also on my Patreon page. I don't know why that is, but CNN Africa is very different from what we know as CNN. And so they also disclosed the mass graves. They even went as far as going into hospitals, and people that were wounded, they dragged them out and brought them to mortuaries just to let them die there. And I have it all on video, but of course, in general, in the Western world, there is not a lot of interest in Africa, and the videos don't help.
No.
Views. Yeah. And nobody gives a shit about Africa.
The Tanzanians who are being murdered in this fashion, are they Christians? Is there a common denominator
No,
of why they are
it
being
was
victimized, these
willy-nilly.
people?
It was willy-nilly. Even people, there was one Kenyan, a young Kenyan, they are neighbors, Tanzania and Kenya. So many Tanzanians live and work in Kenya and vice versa. So he was just running some errands and got shot in the back. And the family did not even receive the body in the Kenyan family. So they tried to appeal to the government in Kenya to step in to do something about it. And to me, that is the Trinity of Terror. Museveni in Uganda, Samia Suluhu in Tanzania, and William Ruto in Kenya. There are already talks. I said it a couple of months ago in a video on my Patreon page, and I said that I could imagine that Ruto will cancel the 2027 elections. And now it pops up that people on YouTube start talking publicly about it. Yeah, I just this morning I watched a video. We will see how that plays out. We have a very, very interesting development also in Uganda right at this time. Museveni is being challenged by Bobby Wine. His real name is Robert Kajulani Sentamu, but he was a musician turned politician. At one point, he talked to his other musicians, and he said, because he comes from the ghetto, yeah, and via music, he made something good for himself, has a beautiful family, two children. And so they decided we take the ghetto to the parliament. And he is running. And honestly, I think he will win this in a landslide. Because I have followed his campaign very, very closely, practically on a daily basis. And my goodness. He has been tear gassed, he has been beaten, and the police and the military are protecting the goons and sometimes participate in beating him. And then his followers they shielded him so that he does not get beaten, and they took the beats. And I think on 15th of January, they will have the election, and Museveni will shut down the internet again. Yesterday, Bobby Wine gave Yeah, advice how to stay in contact when the internet has been shut down. And what they are doing in Uganda this year is a protest vote. And this protest vote includes that after you voted, you stay at the polling station. And if there is ballot stuffing going on and what have you, then you have the right to address that. That is what the Ugandan constitution says. So Museveni's son came out. He is the head of the Ugandan army and said and told people to go home after they voted. But many other leading figures in Uganda came out after Muhoozi said that and said, no, 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 no. That is in the constitution. You cannot humiliate the people and threaten them just because Muhoozi said there will be no election rigging. Museveni has rigged every election since, and he has been in power for 40 years. And the streets are in shambles. The schools are rotten. Another thing in Kenya, what came out now, Kenyatta National Hospital, that is a government-run hospital, that is for the common people. They couldn't even feed the people, let alone lab tests, let alone, MRIs or whatever. Yeah, the running out of medicine, running out of lab tests, and on top of it, oh yeah, sorry, they make 60 to 80 Kenyan shillings, a million Kenya shillings per day, but they cannot feed the people. Yeah. So, and that situation, that is very similar in Uganda, and of course, the people are tired of it. Yeah. They lose every year so many women that are giving birth, and then, yeah, they don't have the equipment in the hospitals, and on it goes. And yeah, the women die during the birth process. So that will be very, very interesting to see. I hope that Uganda does not have its Tanzania moment. I really hope that. But there has been a lot of outward pressure also because other media outlets are trying to focus on that and put a spotlight on that, what is going on in Uganda right now. And we will see. I don't have a crystal ball, but I really, really hope, because if Uganda makes it, if Uganda has a change that will actually set the country on a path of development without any military intervention, that would be so great. And that would be, what starts the ball rolling in all of East Africa. Because if that happens in the long run, Ruto and Samia Suluhu will be toast.
Are those dictators being propped up by the West, and are they beholden to Western corporations for minerals and resources?
Yeah, well, the UN has for has will move huge parts to Nairobi now, because of the costs, that it is cheaper to, put huge things, institutions, what have you, from the UN to Nairobi. So you also hear officials from the UN, whenever we do something in Africa, we do it in Kenya first. Yeah. So, yeah, there is a, I would say, not support in that sense, but they allow it to happen. Because what they do not want is what happened in the Sahel region when they all kicked out the French, when they said, no, you can no longer mine our minerals, we will mine them ourselves and you can buy them. And you will not buy them so that we, who actually own the minerals, get only pennies on the dollar.
Well, yeah, they don't want the wealth of the countries to be fleeced and sent out again. They need it to rebuild their countries, but they just have these corrupt, nepotism steeped dictators. You know how it goes over there. They don't put in qualified people to run the treasury or run the economy. It's just like a brother or a cousin or a nephew or somebody. So it's just graft, and it's just nepotistic corruption, if that's a word, on a mass scale. And it's repeated in so many countries in Africa because that's what the system wants. They don't want any kind of development whatsoever.
And funny enough, in the 80s, Museveni said himself that in Africa, not the people are the problem, but leaders who overstay in office. And now he has been in office for 40 years. And he actually thinks that it's a good idea to run again and another adds another 5 years. He also said publicly in an interview he doesn't care really about Ugandans. He is working for his family, his children, and his great children. Yeah. So
Yeah, that's the pattern. Because,
he sees it as his personal property. And yeah, I really, really hope that Uganda can facilitate the change. And you know what is so striking to me? Bobby Wine, he is the spitting image of my late husband from Kenya. Not only the facial features, his slenderness, his height, the way he moves, the way he talks. I'm always sitting there and thinking that's Jack. I sent some footage to his sister in Kenya and she started laughing and she said he looks exactly like Jack. Yeah.
Well, that's ironic.
Yeah.
It's what would be the ramifications if this dissolution and chaotic upheaval continues in these key African countries? Will there be a knock-on effect with Europe and the so-called Western world?
If these people stay in power, you mean? Okay, then we will probably see more mass migration. Yeah. Africa, the entire continent, is releasing 1 million people into the workforce every month, not every year. And only one out of four will find a job in a formal sector, meaning with a contract and some benefits and what have you. And of course, that is not sustainable. You cannot release every month 1 million people into the workforce and then they find no jobs. That is one of the biggest problems that they have. And but they try to ignore it because they think people are used to being poor. Why change it? And I think the ramifications will be that more and more people leave the continent.
So conditions are such that a great many people every month are losing their jobs, or their jobs are being taken away, or the businesses they work for are closing down, whatever the case may be. And it's compelling so many people to emigrate and leave not only that African country, but Africa in general, and become part of that teeming mass of people from the so-called global south into the developed world, the Western world. That's going to be, well, it's already catastrophic. That'll just take the catastrophe to another level.
And you know, that is
A
why
million a month is a lot of people.
of course it is. That is 12 million people in a year. And the majority of them will not find any job. So keeping an
No,
eye
that's what they're finding. Yeah.
on Africa and have at least some interest is also, in our own interest. I don't see it as something, just exotic, but it will have
Yeah, it's not a
ramifications.
localized, it's not a localized affair. Yeah,
No.
it's not strictly a localized African issue,
No.
because of, this, what they've created, this global village. Everything is interrelated, and look what they did with all these wars as a result of the false flags of 9/11.
Yeah.
They went and attacked all these Muslim countries, stirred up a hornet's nest, and the people that survived these incessant shock and awe attacks, air raids, and invasions, they've been transformed into war refugees, even from countries that didn't have any war, right? And they became asylum seekers. So this is going to make it worse, and it leads to the collapse of the West, because, like we saw talked about earlier, the West, the institutions, the financial system, the businesses and the industry is collapsing. And frankly, I'm surprised that Europe made it this far and has not collapsed into a mass famine situation. But I think that going forward into 2026, we're going to see more of that. I think it'll become more apparent. Certainly, I don't know what they're going to do to hasten it by perhaps starting a war with Iran. Well, they've been at war with Iran, but expanding a war with Iran and continuing the war against Russia, because that seems to be one of their favorite tactics over the years, to use war to hasten all these agendas of control. Because the narrative, they've lost control of the narrative in America and in the West, as far as so what they used to call the religious right in America, Christian Zionists, basically. A lot of the younger Americans, a lot of the younger Republicans are turning away from that narrative because of events in the recent past. So before they lose any more support, they're going to have to do something. They've already done things in the recent past to assert even more control. I see more false flag attacks on the horizon. And look what's going on in Venezuela also. So many people cheerleading that whole saga. They bomb. Okay, let's say for the sake of argument that they're really bombing drug boats. How could that possibly have an impact on the massive flows of drugs through Mexico, through Honduras, through all the familiar channels and conduits, CIA-sponsored narco terrorist drug barons?
Especially when
They're
the
not going after
CIA
them.
is
They're going after
facilitating.
Venezuela.
Especially when the CIA is
Yes. And
facilitating.
the one country, Yes, they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot. That's ridiculous. It's out of the question. So
Yeah.
they're attacking the one country that probably has the least impact of drug flows into North America. So it's so ridiculous when you think about it, because the problems they had in Vietnam, to cite but a recent example of only a few decades ago, a country the size of Venezuela will swallow up whatever American forces are sent over there. There's simply not going to be enough American troops on the ground to make any kind of a dent. And what we're seeing also in the UK and in Europe, and I'd like your thoughts on this before, this first segment is over, and maybe we can talk more about in the second half, but they're openly talking now, Judith, about bringing the draft back in England and in Europe
Germany.
to fight against the Russians.
Yeah.
Germany. So
We already had huge
at a
protests here
time
in.
when,
We already had huge
at a
protests.
time when
Oh.
invaders are taking over. Yeah, please continue. Take over. Yeah, I want to hear this.
Yeah, we had huge protests here in Germany that especially young people were in the street saying, "We are not going to die for your wars." And I don't know how it will play out, if a lot of people are going to leave Europe or whatever. But actually, what do you really want to fight for? The economy is in shambles, you know. Free speech is under attack. People are losing their jobs left, right, and center. The energy politics is completely nuts. And what the EU is doing is slowly, you know, strangulating Europe into the ground. So nobody is really willing to say, "Yeah, for that shit, I'm going to die." No, it will not happen.
On top of the fact that the immigrant invasion, dozens if not hundreds of knifings and rapes every single day, and then they have the audacity, these governments say, well, we're going to take what manhood is left in Europe, send them off to fight against whoever, Russia or whoever, and then leave all these countries wide open even more. I mean, they already had a two-tier policing system, but now leave it wide open to these Islamic African invaders. I mean, who would want to volunteer for that? It's just insane. But that's exactly what I'd come to expect in a planet controlled by reptilian hybrids and demonically controlled individuals, peoples, and entire cultures. That's exactly what I've come to expect. So that part is not a surprise, but it's just the speed, how everything is accelerating, and we'll have a lot more to talk about that in the second half.
So, you said it, our first hour is gone, and yeah, we will leave it at that, and we will see the patrons on the other side.